Yesterday, the American delegation to the Valencia Climate Conference weighed in. She was asked about rumors that the U.S. wanted to modify the climate panel's draft report to downplay the benefits of mandatory controls on greenhouse gases. Dr. Sharon Hayes, the leader of the American delegation, said her team wanted to get the science right.
It is true that we ask lots of questions and we engage in a energetic discussion with other delegations and with the scientist authors, but ultimately our goal is to get the science right, and when the scientists have an opinion on that, we listen to it very, very carefully.
Dr. Hayes also spoke about the evolution of the Bush administration's stance on global warming. She said the president's opinions have changed as the science supporting climate change has become more certain. Since 1994, the African National Congress has built more than 2 million houses for the poor of South Africa. Millions are still needed. In the townships, a dozen family members can live in a single two-room house, while the extended family sleeps in the backyard. But the poor aren't getting tired of their close quarters, as NPR's Gwen Tompkins reports.
Sometimes a toilet is a dream come true. In Eden Park, a neighborhood outside Johannesburg, there are more than 2,000 dreams, okay, toilets, covering a field as far as the eye can see. They're in cement outhouses that stand like tin soldiers on a parade ground, sinks on the side. Toilets like these are the earliest physical sign that the government of South Africa plans to build subsidized housing here, a house for every outhouse. But what happens to a dream deferred?
These toilets are standing here for 3 years. I don't know what's going on, honestly. But they very slowly were houses. Very, very slow. 3 years ago, they started. 3 years.
David Aranji lives in a nearby apartment building. He's a retired woodworker and community activist, and he is the exact color of the poet Langston Hughes. Aranji is not tall, but he's not short either. He's not fat, but he's not thin either. He's not black, but he's not white either. Aranji is a 57-year-old colored man living in a colored neighborhood in what is officially a non-racial democracy. But let's face it, there's nothing non-racial about South Africa.
If everybody was black or everybody was white, everything should have gone well in the whole world. But this race thing will never end.
Aranji suspects that those 2,000 toilets would have matching houses by now if his colored neighbors had voted for the ruling African National Congress. But colored South Africans make their own problems, he says, when they refuse to associate with black folks.
There are some of us, some of our colored people, that's a bit whitish. That's got blue eyes and long hair. And I believe those are the ones that's not so happy, you know, with black people.
The Eden Muse apartments where Aranji lives have been overcrowded for some time now, as tightly packed as a fat man in a wetsuit. In fact, the entire neighborhood is overcrowded. There are about 200 new houses in the area, but the waiting list for those houses has an estimated 12,000 names on it. And black or colored, ANC or no ANC, all those people and more have been waiting for a place to call their own. Sabata Sithole is a black South African and ANC member who got a house last winter. He and his wife had been waiting nearly 20 years for their own place. They'd been living with his mother at her house, along with 17 other people.
I feel very great. I feel very great because now I can do whatever I want to do in my house. Whatever I want to do, my kids, they are free. Yes, I've got my bedroom. They've got their bedrooms. So I'm very happy. I'm very happy.
Some of the new houses are without power and as yet unoccupied. Squatters tried to move in earlier this year, but that ended in fisticuffs. Colored against black, black against colored, and ultimately poor against poor.
Oh, it was like riots and they were burning tires. It was terrible. It was terrible. There were police everywhere. You couldn't even drive in with your car. If I didn't have my baby, I would have been there fighting as well.
That's Maria Meyer, a colored nurse who lives in the same apartment building. That she would be willing to fight someone for a drab, two-room cement house points to a restlessness that the poor are feeling in South Africa today. Unemployment nationwide is as high as 40%. Many of the people who live in Eden Mews come home to itty-bitty rooms or itty-bitty zozos, which are sheds made of sheets of zinc in somebody's backyard. Aranji hates zozos.
You take a lot, about, let's say, 20 zincs, and then you just put them together, fasten them together, and then you've got a house. It's not healthy to stay in a zozo.
Over the years, Aranji successfully led a campaign to reduce rental fees at his apartment building. The effort took months and even brought about a rent boycott. The next phase of his dream was to improve the neighborhood's relations with the black ruling party. He held an ANC membership drive in his apartment, but there weren't many takers, a little more than 700 in an area of 14,000. The majority of voters here support the overwhelmingly white Democratic Alliance Party. Aranji says he's out of politics now, but he's proud of what he was able to do for the area.
Standing together and doing things together, we got a lot, right? Honestly, we got a lot.
Including what new housing there is in Eden Park. And of course, all those toilets. But what happens when dreams go? Shortly after this interview, David Aranji had an asthma attack and died. Vandals in the neighborhood are now breaking the windows of the outhouses and picking off the sinks. Gwen Tompkins, NPR News, Johannesburg.
Eden Park may not yet be paradise on Earth, but the World Bank reported this week that the economies of sub-Saharan Africa are growing fast enough to make a dent in poverty. The bank said that over the past decade, the region has recorded an average growth rate of 5.4%. Its chief economist for Africa said the continent has learned to trade more effectively with the rest of the world and to rely more on the private sector. Still, 41% of sub-Saharan Africans live on less than a dollar a day. This is an improvement from 1990, but it is still the world's worst poverty rate.